Hello and welcome to Pod Catalyst, a podcast dedicated to emerging trends and thought leadership within the communications profession. I'm Peter Finn, Executive Director of the International Association of Business Communicators, or IABC. And every few weeks, I interview a thought leader where they can share their perspective on the profession and provide insight on a diverse set of issues facing professionals today. In this Pod Catalyst episode, I spoke with Justin Green, who is the president of the Global Alliance of Public Relations and Communication Management. Representing more than 300,000 professionals across 126 countries worldwide, IABC recently became a member of the Global Alliance. Justin's also founder and CEO of Wide Awake Communications in Ireland and a director of public relations agencies in both Kenya and Nigeria. Justin has an extensive list of accolades, and most recently in 2019, he was awarded the Lifetime Achievement in International Public Relations by the Public Relations Society of America. We spent some time discussing the Global Alliance's impact and programs, as well as his vision for the organization. We probably could have spent an entire day talking, and clearly there's a lot of opportunities for IABC to collaborate with the Global Alliance and other member organizations. So really great to have an opportunity to speak with Justin. So I'm here with Justin Green, who's the president of the Global Alliance, and Justin was kind enough to talk a little bit about his role as the president of the Global Alliance and just kind of what's top of mind in terms of what's going on with the organization, the association, and most recently, IABC became a member of the Global Alliance. So Justin, if you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came into the role of president and some of the recent work of the Global Alliance would be great.
Yeah, well, I suppose I got involved like everyone else. I was interested in public relations and domestically. I'm actually from Ireland. So I was a member of the Public Relations Institute of Ireland. I joined them as a board member, and then I went on to become vice president, president, and kind of filled every other role in between. I think I spent about 16 years or so as a director of the Public Relations Institute of Ireland. I always had a great love for and passion for public relations, and more so the business side of it. So I suppose when I was in Kenya and there was an issue with regarding post-election violence that took place in Kenya, in Africa, I happened to be there afterwards, whereby the complete economy was devastated. And I reached out to the Public Relations Society of Kenya at the time, not knowing what reaction. And I just said, look, we're here for you. I'm the president of the Irish Institute. And if there's anything we can do to support you, we're here for you, not knowing how that would progress. And in the end, actually, it was the start of another adventure. And that was in 2007-08. And from then, we joined forces with the PRSK, which is the Public Relations Society of Kenya. And we lobbied the European government for the reinstatement of charter flights because the whole tourism industry had been devastated. And we just worked. And what it showed was that an institute within a country, although it has its members and its reach within that country, there's a lot it can actually offer outside the country to other organizations, and it can help. So that was the start of it when I got involved in African public relations. And subsequent from that, then I went on to be made global ambassador for the African Public Relations Association, which represented about 16 countries across Africa. Got involved with them and through numerous other countries from everywhere, from Botswana, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Ghana, Uganda, Rwanda, Morocco. So, you know, that brought me very, very much in touch with other countries, their PR standards, their relationship, how they actually worked. And it was an eye-opener for myself as well. And what I actually found is that, you know, we all assume that we're all great at what we're actually doing until you actually go somewhere else and you actually see the challenges that other organizations are up against. But yet, even despite the challenges that probably are a lot more difficult than I would have encountered with the Public Relations Institute of Ireland, the standards across Africa were second to none. And in actual fact, the rewards of the APRA Awards, which is the Public Relations Association of Africa, and the standards of their awards were just as good, if not better, than what Western countries or indeed Ireland was producing. And that was quite an eye-opener. And I think the whole what public relations stands for was actually brought out in that, understanding other associations, how they work, how we can share ideas, how we can cooperate with each other. And I suppose from that point on, I kind of looked beyond Ireland and reached out to other countries, got involved with, obviously, the, you know, originally it was Kenya, and then, you know, from the Public Relations Association of Africa, went on and attended many of their conferences during the early 2010, 11, 12. And I suppose in 2017, I put myself forward for Global Alliance, got rejected, turned down. And so like all good people, I went a second time and applied again the next year. So, you know, went forward and was successful in joining the board. And then within a year of joining the board, then I was appointed chair elect and served my time and then became president in 2019.
Thanks so much for talking about getting into the Global Alliance and your experiences in Africa. Are there things that, you know, coming, you know, when you became president elect and now president, are there things that were really critical in your point of view and your accumulation of past experiences and things that you wanted to bring to the Global Alliance that might have been a little bit more unique from maybe the past? Or are there new things that you wanted and are introducing to the Global Alliance right now?
Yeah, I suppose when I came onto the board of Global Alliance, I was kind of struck that it was a great organization. It had achieved a lot. But I actually felt that there was a lot more potential for the organization. And that probably came from my experience in countries across Africa and looking at their representation and how they are represented on Global Alliance, which was actually very limited. And then if you looked at, you know, Latin America, it was similar. And what it seemed to me was that Global Alliance, while it was doing phenomenal work, there was a lot that could be added. And I suppose that whole, I suppose, inclusiveness of bringing a real global organization forward, I felt you had to have more representation from countries because you can learn an awful lot from these countries and equally they can learn from you. And what I wanted to do was make Global Alliance a lot more diverse and inclusive. Because I kind of felt currently at that time, it wasn't as inclusive as it could be. So I suppose the main thing for myself was when I came was to look at ways that we could do that. And one of the first things that we introduced was regional councils. Because at that time when I joined, there was approximately 12 people on the board. And to me, that's fine if you're a domestic organization. But how can 12 people represent a global organization around the world? And for it to be true to its mission and to its ethos, it had to have better representation. So one of the first things we did was introduce regional councils, which we introduced across Africa, Asia Pacific, Europe, India, Middle East, Latin America, and North America. And what that gave was we appointed someone from the board to chair each of those councils. And what that allowed was them in themselves to be able to reach out to that whole continent or that whole region and to be able to bring on people onto their local council that would actually be empowered. And what we did was we empowered the chair of each of those councils to actually run activities. Now, when I say run local activities, I know, for example, Africa is not local, but at least it was a lot localer than it was, a lot more localized than it was by, you know, running an organization from Europe. And we had a great passion from the people that were appointed to those committees. They seized the opportunity. They wanted to grow. They saw the opportunity for other countries within their continent to be represented. And I think it was embraced by all those countries who all joined the actual regional councils. So suddenly from the 12 people who were on the board of Global Alliance, that actually shot up to 56 people overnight because suddenly we had 56 ambassadors of Global Alliance all over the globe. And for me, that was a huge step forward. Obviously, with bylaws and articles of association between members on a board, it does take a bit of time for that to be changed. But what we did do was we put forward new, we reviewed the bylaws. We were very conscious of our corporate governance and compliance. And what we wanted to do was relook at the way Global Alliance was structured. And what we did was we actually restructured the whole of Global Alliance, whereby we appointed people into key roles. So we would have had, say, for example, an ethics director or education and training director. We also would have had membership, treasurer, task force membership, member services director. So we all took responsibility for certain areas in order to give back to our actual members and actually to provide a better service. So, you know, everything from new projects director, whereby they could look at new projects or what the offerings were. We had a director of sponsorship and partnerships, with a director of communications and digital. So what it was about was rather than just having 12 people around a board and meeting every 2 months, we upped it to where we meet every month now. And each of those individuals took on a role and a responsibility. So it was very much that we wanted to deliver more, but we wanted to have a greater focus. One of the other things is in relation to governance, we actually rewrote the whole of all our policy documents of Global Alliance, because there was never policies on file as to how Global Alliance actually ran its business. And for me, you know, that was essential. In corporate governance and compliance, we had to have policy documents that would guide the actual board of how they would manage the association. And they're all published. So all the 11 policy documents are now published. They're available on our website. And then we also looked at how was actually Global Alliance developing. And when I said about changing the structure, we have now gone last year in 2020, we changed the number of directors and we went up to 21. So we now have 21 board members that can be elected, and that gives us greater diversity right across the world, to different cultures, races, religions. So we truly are now and can stand over the claim that we are truly now a global organization. We have also gone from when I joined in 2017, we had about 34 members. We're now up to, I think it's 82 members. So you can see that we've actually over 100% increase in membership. We have increased our members. We've increased our products. We now look at it as Global Alliance as a business, because although it is a not-for-profit business, or, you know, an alliance, at the end of the day, people want to see value for their money. And members are how we operate and how we survive. And we need to deliver. And it's not about delivering what you delivered last year. It's about increasing it, enhancing what we offer to our members. Because what we offer to our members, they can actually then go and offer it to their members. So while Global Alliance provides for the 84 members that it has, or 82, the fact of the reality is that all those benefits can be passed on to the association's members. So from that, there's an awful lot to be gained. Like, for example, last year we ran, the first time we actually ever ran it was Education and Training Month, and we extended it for an additional month. Now, when we started off, it was an idea that we had about doing, you know, how can we help during COVID? A lot of associations are not in the office. It was in April. Our members and their members are not maybe being provided for as much as possible. And how can we help? So Global Alliance, we came up with an idea of doing Education and Training Month. It was only supposed to be for April, but we got such a reaction from all our members that we actually extended it into May. And what actually happened was that we got over 50 plus presentations, training, resources, a numerous resource material, but we actually got over 50 presentations made, you know, that cut across everything in the sphere of communications and public relations. And I suppose what we wanted to do was we made it available free of charge to everyone. to not only our members, but to our members' members. And what that was great was that it provided that, you know, a lot of people that were working from home could go on and actually tune in. And we programmed it out that it was like a schedule that gave people something to look forward to each week. We published about, you know, two of them each day throughout the month. And then after that, then what we did was we left them all available on playback. So if you missed one, you could go back our different time. And what we tried to do is match the time zones as well. But what we wanted to have something as a target whereby people might say, well, I want to watch that at 5 o'clock on a Friday. So they were looking forward to generating talk about it and excitement and engagement. So we also left it, all the programs up on actual playback, and so that people could view it anytime. After the second month had passed, we actually took it down. And then what we did was we put it back up again at the end of last year for November, because we were getting an awful lot of people coming on saying, listen, I missed one. Can you send it to me? Or so what we did was we re-engaged and we made a best of education and training month, and we provided that. And all of this was done free of charge. And this was only possible because of our members' participation. And although we were the catalyst that kind of pulled it together, it was the members all over the world that actually had people, whether it was their presidents, professors, lecturers, you know, training organizations, who actually said, okay, we're going to help the industry, we're going to help the profession, and we're going to provide a 20-minute overview on ethics, or you know, whether it was ethics, reputation, management, or any of the spears across, right across the field. So it was a great coming together of the whole global organization when it was a very difficult time for many. And what we're also conscious is that we don't actually compete with our associations, because of a lot of our associations may actually provide training courses. So we're actually conscious of that. But where we actually provide, what we actually provided was macro, I would term macro courses, whereby people were getting insights from Asia, people were getting from New Zealand, you know, North America, Latin America, India, Europe. So they may not have access to that. And of course, you know, it didn't take away from localized certificate courts for particular certificates in courses for a particular market. So I think, you know, it was embraced, and we're actually looking forward to doing the same this April. So we're looking forward to that at the moment.
Actually, just to kind of get into that a little bit more from the macro level, because, you know, you just kind of see what all these different organizations are doing. And I'm just kind of curious, I mean, you know, given everyone's had a pretty challenging year, what are some of the innovative things that you've seen, you know, maybe a few of our Global Alliance membership, you know, some organizations that are doing some really cool stuff, you know, in spite of the challenges of the last year. Anything kind of come to mind that you've seen?
To be honest with you, there was an awful lot of the actual presentations I was surprised by coming from all over the world, and people's different aspects and the way that they actually can relate to it and the way they present. And I think that was probably the biggest thing that I took from it, was that people approach, it might be the same topic, but different cultures, societies approach it differently. And I suppose that's where the great thing about Global Alliance is, being able to make these things available to an international audience. And what started off as let's do this to support the sector has now actually turned into something that we're going to continue doing, because it just got so much reaction. I mean, you know, we had engagement, for example, just on that alone, we had engagement from Belgium, Bangladesh, Brazil, Botswana, Canada, China, Kenya, Italy, Ghana, New Zealand, Mexico, Nigeria, Norway, Peru, you know, Rwanda, the UK, the US, Canada, Zimbabwe. I mean, we could go on and on. Now, unless that had actually happened, and unless Global Alliance had taken the initiative, we would have never had that engagement. And I think it's great to be able to share, particularly now during this difficult time, what lessons have been learned from around the world. And I suppose one of the other key things was, you know, when you were asking about when it came to Global Alliance and expanded and new things, we also introduced our newsletter. So Global Alliance introduced a monthly newsletter whereby we share a lot of insights from all over the world. And that's published once a month and that goes out to everyone. And we encourage all our members to republish that to their members. And even if there's everything covered from it, from new things that are happening to events to job opportunities around the world. And I suppose what it is unifying and uniting the global profession, not just in, you know, what people would expect in relation to standards and ethics, but also in insights and understanding and job opportunities. So we actually provide that. And I think that wasn't there before from Global Alliance. So I think really it's stepped up, whereas Global Alliance used to work on more long-term projects. And we still do. For example, we have the Global Capabilities Framework that was issued 2 years ago. And then last year we issued this year was the official launch, was the Global Public Relations and Communications Model. So while we do actually still work towards long-term projects, I think people nowadays around the world, they have the appetite and a lot stronger appetite, and they want to see what's actually happening now. They don't want to wait 2 years for something. So the likes of the newsletter provides for that. We've just come through Ethics Month, which was our second Ethics Month, Global Ethics Month, which actually came from a meeting in Madrid when the Global Principles of Ethical Practice and Public Relations and Communications Management was pulled together. And IABC were part of that group in Madrid. And what happened there was that we had these overarching agreement that, you know, people like the African Public Relations Association all signed up to, PRCA, Global Alliance, and ECO all joined up to this. And what that was a coming together and recognition. While the organizations, we might seem to think that we compete with each other, we don't, because really we're all looking for the same end goal. We're all looking to increase the standards of our profession and unify the industry. And if we can do that and everyone can do their own bit towards helping that move forward in the right, well, then that's a positive for everyone. So one of the key aspects was actually getting everyone around the table. And I think there's a great bond in PR people within the global organizations. And what allowed it happen was that there was the enthusiasm for something like this to take place. So Global Alliance followed it up. And last year we did Global Ethics Month. Now, when we set off that, we thought, what are we going to do for a month? I mean, how are we going to get people to engage for a month? And we just got such a reaction. And I suppose one of the key factors was that we actually had an ethics director appointed, as I was saying, as in one of the key appointment roles that we made. And she was able to deliver a magnificent job last year. And it was very much, none of us knew how it would go, but there was so much engagement right across, thousands of people right around the globe participated. And apparently there's like 150 odd countries or whatever participated over the course of the period. And it was such a success that we've actually just done the second one during the month of February this year. And equally so, the indications are is that we've actually had a bigger result this year from more engagement right around the world and more countries have engaged. And certainly it's great resources. There's been a lot of papers written about it. And what it does is actually brings that topic to the forefront for a particular month. Now, I know, as we say, ethics is not just for a month, it's all year round. But what it does, it gives a key focus to focus on ethics and discuss it. And not only were Global Alliance and other organizations engaging with us, but equally so, thousands of events happened in local associations and members associations all over the globe to coincide with it, which is a huge achievement. And Sarah Handel was the director of that. And I must say she played a phenomenal job and she did the same job last year. And great enthusiasm on the board. We've got a great board of people on Global Alliance and are very much who are committed to working because it is all voluntary. And, we do actually, you know, we are very passionate about what we do and it does take up a lot of time. So, but I mean, I suppose that that's really what we've been able to achieve over the last 18 months or so.
Yeah, you know, it seems like ethics, you know, because the IBC also February was ethics month for IBC, but it seems to be a particularly hot topic, given, you know, especially in North America, I think, given what's happened with misinformation and some things being twisted, you know, and maybe not always based on fact. And I guess maybe what your perspective is in terms of what the communicator role or communicator's role or communications professional's role, making sure that communications are ethical, that we are, you know, getting the right message or truthful messages out. Just curious of what your perspective is on that. And given, again, because you have such a global perspective and what you're seeing.
Yeah, I think there's two words. It's really trust and truth. Mm-hmm. And those two words can kind of summarize ethics. Like if you've trust and you've got the truth, you know, they're the underlining two words that if you always think that and organizations apply it and the profession applies it, well, then it underpins our ethics. And if you wake up, one of the key reasons why we decided to appoint an ethics director at Global Alliance, the main purpose was that we all know ethics exists and we all know it's there. But what we wanted to do was to have someone empowered that would ensure every aspect of whatever Global Alliance was doing, whether it was sponsorship, whether it was education, whatever the field was, we wanted to ensure that we had a person on the board that was there listening and everything that we were saying complied with ethics. And they were kind of like our ethics person, and everything we did, they ensured that it was ethical and that it also embroidered everything got to do with ethics. And I suppose we didn't just want to do ethics as kind of to think about it every once in a while. We wanted it to be 365. And by having an ethics director, that meant that Sarah was on top of everything we did, whether it was ethics related or not, she was the oversight of that. And I think that's important for organizations to do because, you know, it actually intertwines ethics into every single thing Global Alliance does. And, you know, she was the person to ensure that happened. So I think ethics is 365. It's in everything we do. And if you look at even the, you were talking about, you know, or rather I was saying about truth and trust and that. I mean, Global Alliance last year, after the success of Ethics Month in February, and training, education and training in April, we decided to do at the time Diversity and Inclusion Month in June. Now, little did we know what would unfold in April when we decided to do pick June of all times to set this up. And of course, everyone is aware of, you know, Black Lives Matter and the whole, everything that unfolded at the time. And suddenly then it became ethics was embedded in our Diversity and Inclusion Month. So really there's no escaping, and nor should there be any escaping from ethics.
And I believe this month for the Global Alliance is communication transformation. You want to talk a little bit about that? I mean, is that, and pardon me if this has been a prior theme, but how is Global Alliance, you know, sort of articulating that? Like what is, you know, programmatically, like what are some of the things you're doing to stand that up?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose one of the things was that foolishly, I, you know, when we did Ethics Month last year and then we did education and training and then we kind of got onto a bit of a roll and we wanted to do diversity and inclusion and health and well-being. So we actually did all those months last year. So we had an ethics, education and training month, diversity and inclusion month, health and well-being month, and then the best of education and training month. So they were our 6 months as such. And this year coming into it, I mean, the board are challenging one another for new ideas and to change things. And obviously, you know, we want to keep the core, you know, obviously education and training can change as into the topics, ethics, essential that we kept that. So what we did came up with was global trends and communication transformation. And I suppose what that is in this month is looking at the trends around the world and the transformation of communications and how it's developing and where it's moving. And currently, we're conducting a survey with thousands of practitioners around the world. We'll have those results, I think, the end of this week. And then we're scheduling a whole webinar on that in mid-March, which will look at all the trends, which will give insights from all around the world. And that will allow people to see where they are, what the trends are, and what the transformation is. And I think there's an awful lot of insights will actually come out of that. And it's the intention then to actually publish those insights from around the world. So currently, Global Alliance has a reach of 126 countries work globally. So hopefully, you know, if we even get 40% or 50% of those countries, we're going to have some great content. And that's being worked on at the moment. And then as is the preparation for Education and Training Month. But the board are always challenging. They're always looking for new ideas. So we're not set in stone, but yet we have planned out this year. But I know that there will be some other elements or some other topic, hot topics that might come up that we will also introduce. But I suppose what it is that all of this started in order to give something back for COVID, because that was the catalyst that started it, because we were aware that organizations, when we reached out to China and then following Italy, you know, were the countries that were first affected and second and subsequently affected, they were going through a very difficult time when the rest of the world was only still learning about COVID, hadn't really taken a hold. And within weeks, months, it had spread around the world. So, I mean, one of the key things for doing ethics last February was in order to support China, Italy at that time. And then, you know, by the time we got to March here in Ireland, we had cases. It was spreading all over Europe. So that really kicked on then to say, listen, we got to support our sector. We've got to support the profession. What can we do? And I suppose it's the same way in hindsight that when I originally met the Public Relations Society of Kenya, that I said the same thing to them. I said, what? I didn't know what we could do. I didn't know if anything we could do. I didn't know what reaction we would get. But I still asked the question, and it was, what can we do for you? And it was just reaching out to the organization and sharing ideas and sharing insights. And it evolved from that.
Thanks for all the background. That's incredibly helpful. And I just want to say, you know, anything that IABC can do to help collaborate or support the report that you're all generating, you know, we'd love to participate. So I know a lot of our members will be very interested to see what the results are. So
make sure that IABC, that you supply a couple of education and training topics, or even you yourself present one, you know, during the month of April for the whole profession around the world, you know, which would be great, you know. So I'll put you on the spot and ask you that one as well.
We will help. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to talk more about it.
I don't want you to help. I want you to get into it and enthused on it and you know, engage with it, you know. So we'll kind of look for a bit more than help.
Definitely. No, we are fully participate. Absolutely. And partner.
You can edit that. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
That's great. So Justin, I have one last question for you. And we usually ask this to everyone that we interview. And, you know, sometimes you hear like, you know, the question of what keeps you up at night. So we prefer to say, what gets you up in the morning, you know, as a, you know, not only as the president of the Global Alliance, but in your day job, what drives you?
I suppose I have a unique day job in public relations and communications. I mean, my main area of involvement is events, particularly unique now because there are none during COVID. But, you know, I would be involved in putting campaign strategies together for an awful lot of international artists, events around the world, and including, you know, particularly music artists. And I would be involved in the running of concerts, anything from 100 people right up to 120,000 people. So I've worked with an awful lot of celebrities down through the years and still do. And I suppose it's quite exciting, and one day is never the same. I would be involved in an awful lot of crisis management and issue management that goes along with that. But I suppose one of the biggest, you know, to me, public relations, like a lot of people like to play football or they play rugby or they have a sport that they're mad about or they're into football or whatever. I suppose for me, my passion is public relations, as sad as it might seem. But, you know, that is what my passion is. And I love the sector. You know, I'm very enthusiastic about it. And I have a lot of time for it. And I suppose for me, it's about unifying the global industry and actually sharing the insights from countries all over the globe. I mean, like, for example, and I suppose bettering, trying to look for ways to better what we're actually doing. And that's why with Global Alliance, I didn't want to become president of Global Alliance and do nothing. I wanted to change the organization. I wanted to bring it in and bring it forward and to be able to make a mark while you are president. Because I believe that if you can look back and you can say the organization has changed under your leadership, well, then that's a testament to what you've achieved. And I think, you know, the fact is that we've just completed our nomination process for our board. And, you know, in total, there was 16 different countries were represented on the board this year. In addition to those 16, we now have a further five countries, different countries. So we've 21 different countries have applied to join Global Alliance board. Now, they've got through the whole election and it's all down to the AGM. And, you know, it's the members that vote at the end of the day. We don't pick the board members. It's up to the AGM and our members to select who goes on the board. But the fact is that we now have 21 different countries who are looking to go on the board, who have applied and been nominated to go onto the board of Global Alliance. And I suppose when I look back 3 years ago, it was very difficult to even incur, like it was difficult to get people to run for the board. And certainly, you know, when we only had 12 people on the board, with 12 positions or 12 countries at max, if they were all different, if there was no double ups, you know, was the maximum. Now we're actually, for the first time ever, potentially subject to the members voting and selecting nominations at the AGM, we potentially have 21 different countries. Represent, and I think that is a testament to the way that Global Alliance has changed and changed for the better. And so, I mean, even that to me is a huge achievement. And the new thing, I think, for looking forward, one of the biggest things for Global Alliance in 2021 will be the expansion of our accreditation. We have an academic council who accredit our accreditation program, whereby now courses from local or regional courses that are recognized, say, if, for example, if you're in Nigeria and you do the NIPR course and you have a diploma in public relations, you can now apply to Global Alliance, whereby Global Alliance are now accrediting courses that are recognized globally right around the world. So what it means is that if you've done the PRSA course, that is not just recognized now in the United States, it's actually recognized by all the other members of Global Alliance, which is truly a magnificent, you know, for an individual who has worked hard to obtain their results and then maybe wants or wishes to travel to a European country or to Latin America. So by the virtue of our last AGM, all the members unanimously voted to adopt that. So that is rolling out already. The UK, PRSA, CIPR in the UK, as I said, and where we have a number of other applications. The European Institute of Communications have also been accredited. So I think that will be a main focus for Global Alliance, because by doing that, we're actually going back to what we are, our core mission is, and that is to increase the standards and recognize the standards around the world. And what we are actually doing is providing a facility whereby standards can be recognized by our other members around the world.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, where it's not siloed, where everything is a bit more integrated and complementary, right? Well, Justin, I really, really appreciate your time. This has been fantastic. And as I said before, we will participate and partner with you. We're looking forward to, because I know IBC, I think we did the paperwork, you know, in December. And I know, just speaking on behalf of the board and a lot of our members, we're really excited about partnering with the Global Alliance in the future.
We want you to sign up here, you know, so that you make sure that you do your courses, send them. But no, it would be great. Like, to be honest with you, we're really excited, right? When I came on Global Alliance, IABC, I had heard were actually a member previously. And I couldn't understand why they actually weren't a member now currently. But to be honest with you, look, I think every organization, no matter how big or small, you always have to look at what are you offering. And I suppose at the time when I first asked, when I joined the board, when I first asked about IABC and whether they were members or not, and at that time I had to actually say, well, look, what are we actually offering our members? So for me, it was really, really important to go back to scratch and actually say, what are we offering? And to work really hard on our membership benefits so that when I was able to engage with IABC, I had no qualms or anything. I had no problem whatsoever in saying what Global Alliance provides, because I truly believe Global Alliance provides a catalog of initiatives now that have never been bigger than ever before. So if I couldn't get you, persuade you to join then, I could have never. But really, I think, you know, like really, you know, it's the onus is on us to not only to ensure that we provide a good service to our members, but don't be complacent and to always look forward to add more and to look for more. And I suppose that's where we're kind of driven. So, and it's great. And, you know, it's great that you're going to participate in all our activities this year.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Justin. Again, really appreciate talking with you. Again, thanks to Justin for speaking with me. A great conversation. Justin's got a lot of fantastic insights. So really glad that he was able to sit down and talk with me virtually. More to come on our partnership with the Global Alliance. And thank you very much for listening, and thank you for being a member.